So Mark Zuckerberg, who founded Facebook and also Meta, which owns Instagram and WhatsApp and a few others, has announced that the censorship on Facebook is going to stop, or at least roll back. But while doing so, he also is blaming everyone but himself and the policies that he instituted. Instead, he's blaming, you know, the fact checkers and news agencies and so on. It's like, okay, well, yes, the mainstream media leans heavily to the left, but that isn't new. It did that at the same time that Facebook decided to use them as authoritative sources. This isn't, you know, I don't think it's true that the mainstream media has just gone so far to the left when it wasn't that way in 2016. I don't think it's true that Facebook's initiative has always been complete fairness as opposed to a bias in its own decision making, right? So in 2016, like, Mark Zuckerberg himself was trying to make friends with the president of China, Xi Jinping, right? He was learning Mandarin so that he could do so because the primary idea there was to get in with China so that the Facebook app could be available in China. And it's like at the expense of mass censorship because he didn't actually care about free speech at all, but cared about the profitability of the company. And it's like, okay, that's a decision that you can make. It's not a moral one, but it's a decision you can make, but you should really own it. You know, if you've had a change of heart here in 2025, then okay, great. You know, if your politics have changed, if your moral compass has changed, or your religion has changed, like, okay, say so. But this idea that, well, we're going to, you know, pivot in the way that we're dealing with things now in terms of censorship because of other people is completely false. It's just a lie. You know, he's the one and his platform that banned all the Proud Boys, not the organizational page. No, the individual users tried to make sure that they didn't exist. Like, just if anyone was a member, it was just they were unpersoned, effectively. In 2020, before that election, Facebook blocked access to stories about Joe Biden's son Hunter and the Burisma connection and all of that. This isn't an accident that's the fault of these other news media outlets. It was a conscious decision by either him or the different, you know, stakeholders at Facebook, but it was a Facebook decision that was made. So it's patently false that he can just go and blame other leftist actors, which admittedly are leftist and we're not, you know, loyal to the truth above all else, but it's not somebody else's fault. And therefore he's gonna, you know, make moves now to accommodate the fact that other people have done the wrong thing. Like, that's just not true. All right, so we're gonna go on and look at some more. Like, that's how he starts out a new video that he released. But then he continues down several points, and I'd like to go through a few of them with you. So next he says,
second, we're gonna simplify our content policies and get rid of a bunch of restrictions on topics like immigration and gender that are just out of touch with mainstream discourse. What started as a movement to be more inclusive has increasingly been used to shut down opinions and shut out people with different ideas, and it's gone too far.
Okay, but mainstream discourse seems a lot like, well, this is what's being allowed on other platforms and it seems profitable, therefore we want to do it. Like, if you're not beholden to, well, people should be allowed to talk about these things because they're true and because they're important, but rather because it's within what, the Overton window? Is that what we're referring to as mainstream discourse? The things that are being allowed on other platforms that he's now apparently concerned about the fact that he's losing money to? Because honestly, the other platform we're talking about is Twitter, or X if you prefer the new name. Because now he's even wanted to copy Twitter to use the community notes style instead of fact checks. Which, okay. But you have to first admit that you did something wrong here. And at least here, I mean, this is an acknowledgement that doesn't really go with the former, because it's like, well, if the problem is the news media and the far left there, then why do you have to simplify your content policies to allow for discussions about immigration and gender? Well, you mean that your policies were the problem all along? Well, of course they were. but he's sort of refusing to sort of take ownership of that. But it's kind of, in some way, it's kind of nice to see, oh, yeah, they were definitely actually doing that. You know, just kind of hearing it from them, this admission that they were shutting down entire discussions on broad topics because they wanted to change the way that the public feel represented. And this is one thing that I've always kind of hated about the way that censorship works. It's that if you make a person feel like his opinions are not widely held, then he's less likely to say them. And because he's less likely to say them, other people are less likely to say them as well. And so you end up with this sort of silent majority concept where everybody's too quiet and doesn't know that they're alone in their convictions. And so you often see things like voter turnouts being reflected as like, okay, well, people will vote one way, but they won't say so publicly. But what it really does is it isolates people of a certain political persuasion that is not allowed, I guess you could say. So like if something, a discussion is banned on Facebook, so you just don't see it. You don't necessarily see, well, this discussion was banned. You just don't see anything on a certain topic. And so therefore you can feel kind of alone in your own belief systems and you're less likely to talk about it. And that causes a sort of isolation among a lot of people. And that affects those who spend too much time online. Like it has ramifications in people's personal lives and also in our political sphere as well. Okay, and then he goes on. Next point.
Third, we're changing how we enforce our policies to reduce the mistakes that account for the vast majority of censorship on our platforms. We used to have filters that scanned for any policy violation. Now we're going to focus those filters on tackling illegal and high severity violations. And for lower severity violations, we're going to rely on someone reporting an issue before we take action.
I mean, this is, again, the sort of, well, these were mistakes. No, they weren't. They were just policy decisions that maybe now he doesn't agree with, either for monetary reasons or for moral reasons. But I don't think they were just mistakes. Imagine most of the people watching this video who've used one of his platforms have appealed a decision and, you know, the appeal was denied after manual review by human beings. So, like, yes, they used automated systems to identify certain things that they thought might have been offensive, and it got taken down immediately, and then you appeal, then you get a human, but all the people who are hired are from California, and that's who they hire, those who are on the far left, and then it gets reviewed as, well, that's offensive, therefore it shouldn't be allowed here because it's hate speech, and we ban hate speech, right? I don't think it's fair to say that's a mistake. It's wrong, it's immoral, it's a policy that we no longer wish to hold. Okay, but just broadly saying that was a mistake, I don't think is fair. Now, the fact that he wants to focus now on just getting rid of content that's illegal, I think is a good thing. I mean, that's always been like the policy of frameworks like Gab, right? Was to ban content that was illegal. So it allowed things up to the limits of American law. But that's also part of the issue, is that so many different countries have anti-free speech laws, hate speech laws, that kind of thing. Countries like Britain, Canada, we're not talking like the third world, even though they have their own issues regarding you can't, you know, criticize their government, that kind of stuff. That's what you see in the more obviously despotic countries. But like in the Western countries, Australia, Canada, Britain, Germany, like there are lots of these that are just now banning hate speech, and they're trying to pressure companies to ban it on their behalf. And if a company has offices in those countries, then they're able to exercise some actual pressure. Like they can actually, you know, find the company and take their assets and so on, which is why it's so important for companies, you know, in the tech field, who want to allow for free speech up to the limits of American law, they have to only have offices in the United States. When they start branching out and doing that, they just subject themselves to the foreign laws of various different either dictators or just, I mean, people who just don't believe in the same set of values fundamentally. And that's been a huge problem in so many of these areas. And it's like, going back to the very beginning, that's why you wouldn't try and suck up to China. Like, yes, okay, so China may block Facebook altogether because it allows for free speech, if it did allow for free speech. But it's not your job to bow before the government of China to engage in the censorship that it wants in order to keep their citizens both in the dark about what they're not seeing and in a state of servitude. Like, that's not your job. If citizens go to Facebook and they see a message that says this is blocked in your country because, you know, your government is evil or what have you, like, in some sense, it's actually better than the alternative, which is they think they're seeing things that are not seeing, that doesn't actually exist, right? That they think they're seeing everything, and yet it's not everything. That's more of a problem because it keeps them in chains because they don't even realize that they're enslaved. That's why you don't, you know, work together with these evil dictators and tyrants, you know, but the only reason to do that would be a profit motive, unless you actually agree with the politics of Xi Jinping, which, I mean, I don't know, but I don't think he was actually quite that far ahead. Mark Zuckerberg wasn't. But in any event, that's what you see to varying degrees, right? Germany and China will have, like, different censorship requirements. But still, instead, you should just pull out of those countries and not actually have any assets there. Now, he did say also in this same video that they're going to move their trust and safety and content moderation teams out of California. And the US-based content review will be based in Texas. Well, I hope that the people from California don't get moved to Texas, because I don't think Texas needs all of those Californians. But anyway, I digress. Like, I mean, that's probably a better choice if you want people who are more neutral and open-minded about these things. But I still think that it doesn't address, okay, what about the content moderation teams in other countries? Are we still going to kneel before the requests of other countries and engage in this kind of immoral censorship to keep people in various types of enslavement? Absolutely he is. And that has to change if he wants to proclaim to be a moral power, a moral being, however you want to put that. It's not... I mean, this idea that we can just blame everybody else, we can blame the news agencies and we can blame the fact-checkers, which he and his company, at least, you know, like, worked together with. Like, that was the reason that so many of these fact-checking agencies popped up, was because a company as big as Facebook and as big as Meta was seeking that service. And now he's like, well, they were just on the far left. They were on the far left. They are on the far left. And it's because they were on the far left that they were chosen by Facebook. So let's not forget that when they're making financial decisions now under the guise of moral ones.